Hey everybody, and welcome to an episode of The Writer's Notebook. I'm Valerie, and I'm presenting to you a very special episode. Today, my friends will be interviewing me about my narrative fanfiction and my writing process behind it. Now, I am recording this after the fact, and would just like to mention that I am sick, so my voice may be a bit off, my nose is a bit stuffy, but I will try to push on through. For those of you who have not read my narrative, it is a sequel to The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway. In the original story, there is a secondary character named Manolin, who is the protagonist, Santiago's, young loyal companion. My narrative follows him about 15 years later, and the reader gets to see him deal with the grief of losing his beloved mentor. In the beginning, the reader follows Manolin as he walks to the dock, and we get an understanding of the village's attitude towards him. They're having loud, boisterous conversations, but his presence immediately silences them. However, once he leaves, they start to talk again, but about him. It is incredibly noticeable and only strengthens this insecurity that Manolin has as a result of Santiago's death. So, as in any village, gossip spreads and is impossible to avoid, which is rather unfortunate for Manolin. As he goes on a walk, he overhears two women talking about him. They make harsh statements that severely hurt Manolin, but it is also those statements that fill him with a sort of determination. Like his mentor, he goes on a trip to conquer the vast ocean and prove himself. However, luck is not on his side, and it leads him to start reflecting on a few things, though he still refuses to acknowledge how deeply hurt he truly is at his mentor's passing. There are signs that his mentor is still with them, however, the biggest one comes just when he is giving up. He hooks a giant marlin, just like Santiago had years prior. It is a battle that lasts many hours until the early hours of the morning. It is then that Manolin begins reflecting once again. He sees the fish as a sign from Santiago and officially comes to terms with the old man's death. He cries and screams and, in an emotional climax, releases the fish, ultimately letting go of Santiago and the grief he has been holding. He feels immense peace after doing so and goes back home where everyone can see that he is much different than when he left. He goes to Santiago's old shack and we see that he has learned that his grief does not have to hold him back and that he can still love and honor Santiago without having to be like him. He is free. Now, before we continue with the interview, I would like to mention that my friends are not currently in the same location as I, so we had to conduct the interview over a call. So there may be some difficulties with the audio, as in sometimes it may be difficult to understand as our voices may grow muffled at some point. I hope it does not take away too much from the listening experience. And also, my friends have not read my narrative, nor have they read the original story. So they have no idea what I am talking about. And they are just merely asking me the questions, which makes for a rather interesting and, may I say, chaotic interview. But I hope that is enjoyable and entertaining. We are live. We are on air. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
You want to go first?
Go ahead, go first.
But anything I say, V will be upset with.
Of course, V will be upset with. Just go ahead. I have something I want to say, but I'll say it after you. Because I need to write it down.
My name is Mun, aka Tamara, and V. I'm V's bestest girlfriend, the one that she loves the most. I disowned her, so.
Okay. Moving on. Thank you for introducing yourself.
You're welcome.
Continue.
Greetings, fellow lowly peasants. I am the great you, the third, the daughter of a local Canadian. Be graced by my presence.
Local Canadian? I thought we're Indigenous.
I have no clue. I just introduced myself. You guys are too low for me.
Do you want to give yourself a different name so that it's not confusing?
Let them be confused. I am the great you.
No.
Yeah, let them be confused. It's fine. No, it is what it is.
Okay, you guys spoke at the same time and that gave me a migraine. Not a migraine, but like a slight.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, it's okay. You're not sorry. Anyways, what should I go by?
You know what?
Call me Yvonne. Let's just go with Yvonne. Who cares?
Okay. All right, so you guys have questions. Or you guys are going to pick your questions. Would one of you like to go first?
We're so prepared.
So prepared.
All right. So, beloved fiancé, how did you develop the characters in your narrative?
In my narrative?
Were they inspired by real? Yeah. Were they inspired by real people or entirely fictional? Quit trying to interrupt me.
Technically, it should be really inspired by me and Yvonne, or, you know,
you did my not, name be spoken.
You did not read the layout, did you? No. It's about a man and a fish, so they are not based off of you and Yvonne. I'm sorry.
A mermaid?
Unacceptable.
You did not read my organizer.
Okay, you're talking.
I'm sorry. Okay, let me answer the question. No, they were not based off of real people because it's technically a fan fiction. So
you don't love us.
It's it's a character from the original story, and I did like a kind of personal take because he's a secondary character. So I took what we learned from him and the original one and then kind of wondered what type of person he would be after, going through a loss. So that is how I developed him.
You sounded robotic. Anyways, Mun,
listen, I'm trying to answer. I'm an author, okay? I'm trying to be professional here. Leave me alone.
At least sound like at least sound like a little bit more casual, you know?
No, I can sound however I want to sound. This is my podcast.
Hey, you're the one who invited us. You're the one who invited us. Okay.
I know. Okay. Next question.
My turn. How did you decide on the structure of your narrative? Did you consider other options before settling on the final structure?
No, not really. Since I had a template, I kind of followed the traditional structure because I didn't consider it until afterwards. I was like, oh, could have done it differently. So it's not really that interesting. I did a basic traditional structure, exposition, rising action, climax, falling action, resolution.
Okay.
I have a different question that's like kind of a little bit separate. Since this is a podcast, should we make it sound like one?
Yeah, well, that's what this is a podcast.
Yeah, but like we sound so robotic, like mechanical.
I know, but
and I don't.
We kind of have it though. We've just kind of been laughing a whole lot. This is still technically an interview.
That's true. Anyways, next question. Were there any challenges or obstacles that you faced while writing this narrative? How did you overcome them? You know, I sound robotic.
I was my biggest obstacle when it came to writing my narrative. I get very insecure about my writing, and I'm a major procrastinator. So, and also whenever I write, I try to, like, get it perfect on the first try, even though it's not perfect, but I normally try to. So I'm definitely my biggest obstacle when it comes to just writing in general.
That's lies. You're a liar.
That's not lies.
We are. We text you all the time.
That
we
are the biggest obstacle. That, yes.
That is so true.
That was so loud.
Listen, I'm still upset that I still never got my happy ending. Like, I know. Dude, come on.
I'm sorry. You will get it at some point once you give me your story.
Okay, you're... Excuse me. That's rude.
That's not... It's the truth. Okay. And
what's the truth is that you never got the happy ending done.
I'm working on it. I'm working logistic. Okay, let's move on. Okay.
Is it my question?
No, it's Mun, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is me.
Oh, it is you. I'm sorry. I had to skip you. My bad. Go ahead. What's your question?
It's the peasant's turn. How different from or similar to your original selected narrative text was your fanfiction narrative? Okay, you spelled narrative wrong in the question, by the way. Just like to make that known, you know.
Did I?
And why did you make that choice?
Sorry, my bad. So the narrative is pretty similar. I don't think either of you have read the original, but it is pretty similar because it's this like one man out on sea battling a giant fish, like the original and my narrative. So it was intentional because I wanted Manolin's journey to kind of mirror Santiago's, because it's kind of they're both battling like something, you know, kind of like their own personal challenges. And that's what the fish represents. So it was very intentional, and also to show Manolin kind of following in Santiago's footsteps as his mentor. Silence.
Awesome.
Okay.
I ate a burnt popcorn.
That could never be my story. Oh my God. I make my stories sad.
Oh, I mean, I do too.
I love sad stories.
But I didn't want to make mine sad. I wanted to try something different.
You should have made the teacher cry.
To be fair,
the old man is dead, so that's kind of sad.
But yeah, it's a gut-wrenching sad. Does it make me want to bawl my eyes out all night? Does it? Is it gut-wrenching? Come on. You gotta give me some kind of pain where I'll cry for days over it.
I'm sorry. I didn't get you gut-wrenching pain. I didn't want to do that because I write sad stuff normally. So this is technically me trying to be different.
How would you be different?
Trying to be like other girls.
Fine then. How did you decide on the structure of your narrative, though? Like, did you consider other options before settling on the final structure?
That question.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Mun did. Mun asked me that question.
Why did you make that choice?
No, Mun asked me that same question.
It was five. No, they answered five. Didn't they ask five?
Yeah, I've been asking mine in order. I've been asking mine all separately, just randomly.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I think order, because that's what I thought we should do, because we didn't really pick up the options. So I wasn't really paying attention to what was asked.
Oh yeah, the questions that haven't been asked yet are 2, 4, 7, 8.
2, 4, 7. Oh, I hate those numbers. Why would you do that to me?
Those are good numbers. Ooh. What are you talking about?
No, they're not.
Okay, whatever.
for a summer.
Let's move on. Ask me a question.
I hate asking questions. Okay, what? Two for a summer. I really can't ask. I really hate those numbers. Anyways, how did the setting contribute to the overall mood or theme of the narrative?
Well, it takes place like on the ocean, so it's a pretty solitary setting, which I think adds to what I'm trying to, I guess, kind of convey in a sense, is the fact that Manolin is alone and he feels lonely. And it's not just because Santiago died, but he kind of self-isolates, so that's contributing to his loneliness, which is something he can change, but that's kind of after my narrative. It's unwritten. Because I'm lazy.
That kind of sounds like Percy Jackson. Like, Percy's mom, like, going to the beach, meeting Poseidon, like... Yeah, that sounds like Percy Jackson.
I've actually never read Percy Jackson. I want to read it.
Honestly, I'm still trying to read mine.
Well.
Wait, so I've been going by order. I've been skipping questions. Damn it.
Yeah, I've been doing it randomly just because.
How dare you?
My bad, I'm sorry. If we did it by order, I felt like that would have been like really boring and even more robotic. So it's like
that's why I was thinking we should do like try to like combine it into like more of like a podcast, go like real casual about it. That's what I was trying to do with the question I asked until I figured out it was already answered. Damn.
Maybe we should have talked more in between questions.
Well, that's what we're doing right now, aren't we?
I guess technically, but like we kind of are, I think we already did the five questions I was supposed to answer.
Yeah. Well, technically, not really, because like you only gave us eight, and technically both of us are supposed to ask five questions each, you know, at that point. So
there's technically nine, but I didn't want to answer one of them because I didn't know how to answer it.
Wow.
So I gave you
eight. I know. Sounds like such a me thing. That's such a me thing. Oh my god. Anyways, Mon, your time to shine.
My time to shine, but I'm a peasant. How can I shine?
I know, but you can be a jester if you want, but like, you won't be afraid of me.
I can make fun of me again?
Not on my own podcast, please.
Why not?
Because this is my podcast.
Don't matter. You're the one who invited us as guests. So technically, this is on you.
Not to ridicule me or bully me.
I'm not doing that.
I know never you want me. To.
I want to, but I'm not doing it. You know, this is the difference. Anyway, okay. I don't know if you hear that noise. I hope you God you don't hear that noise. But anyway, what were some of the important or meaningful moments that resonated with you personally? Why were these moments significant to you?
I think kind of like the whole theme of the narrative with like this idea that you need to let go of the past to keep moving forward. It's a very basic theme, but it is something that resonates with me a lot. So I was kind of able to like tap into that when I was writing Manolin's character and trying to figure out how his brain works and how he reacts to stuff.
So Sally Jackson.
Enough with the Percy Jackson like connections here.
Listen.
All I heard was Percy Jackson. Like I didn't even hear the first part. I didn't hear Percy. All I heard was Jackson. So my mind just went to Michael Jackson as like my dad.
Oh my god, that is hilarious. Anyways, I said Sally Jackson because like, dude, you're writing about a fish and a man. Technically Poseidon is a fish since he's a casting
god. I know, but it's not the same thing. This takes place in Cuba in the 1960s.
Why had to make them old? Out of everything you could have made them, you had to make them old.
You've never read the original. The original takes place in 1950. This is a continuation of the original, which takes place in the 60s.
Oh, so the even more.
You didn't older. Read my organizer that I sent you. So prepared.
We are what we are, like, damn.
Hey. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about how come they're old. Why do they have to be old?
They're not old.
Why can't they be young, handsome men that people would like?
You know? He's in his late 30s. That's not that old.
If someone was in their
30s... He is that old. That is old. He should be in the grave by now.
Oh my god. We're moving on. We're not gonna keep talking about this.
It's closer to 50. We didn't know you liked old men.
The original story is literally called The Old Man and the Sea.
Oh my god. Oh, so he is old. Ew.
The original Santiago, but my narrative is about Manolin, which was his young, like, companion. And if you say something about that, I swear. But it's following him in his late 30s, like 15 years later, in the 60s.
Oh, so he wants a...
No! Mine! Oh my god! Oh my god! No. Please.
Bleep it out.
I'm so done. Is there any more questions?
Yeah, there's two more questions. That's 4 and 7.
Okay.
Has the narrative evolved during the writing process, if at all? Did the story change significantly from your initial concept to the final product? Yes or no? Come on, V. Hurry up. Answer quickly. Come on. Answer.
You are giving me a chance to answer. No. I had a pretty clear idea of what I wanted since the beginning. When I started planning it, I wondered, what if Santiago died? The old man, which is very dark and very sad. But I just kind of thought, like, what would happen with Manolin later on in life if his mentor died? And, you know, trying to figure out and deal with the grief. So, no, my idea has stayed pretty consistent since the beginning.
That's a good idea, and I'm happy it stayed persistent because he was old and he needed to be gotten rid of.
Damn, that's rough, okay.
That's rough.
Even though I'm the one that said he should be closer in the grave.
Ah, I know. Anyways. Okay.
Oh, damn, I didn't realize I had a bruise. But damn. Anyway.
We're better.
And final question was, what universal theme did you want the readers to take from your narrative? How did you work to convey the universal theme to your audience?
Honestly, I wish I had read this online so I can know how to answer this for myself.
I also wish I had read it.
Okay, so, hold on. I feel like I need to, like, burp or something. I'm sorry. This is not professional. So the topic of the narrative is grief and sort of everything that comes with avoiding that and avoiding it and running from it just ends up negatively impacting you. And like in the story with Manolin, you can become bitter and lose the love and passion you once had for things such as Manolin, who no longer likes to fish. So the theme, I guess, is sort of allowing yourself to grieve and let things go is important for personal growth, so you don't have to let yourself be weighed down by the past.
Okay.
Imagine not wanting to feel sad.
Okay. One thing.
Okay.
Percy Jackson.
Quit bringing Percy Jackson into this. I thought you were going to ask a different question. I thought you were going to ask that one question that you wanted to ask.
I could.
Oh, you really want that question to be asked that badly, Tim V? No, you're like, hey, yeah.
No, I thought that, no. I don't want it to be asked that badly. I just thought that's what was going to come right now.
If you want me to ask.
No. We're going to wrap up.
I mean,
up.
I do have.
No.
We're wrapping up.
No, I have a question. We're the gay for each other. That's all that matters.
We're the gay. Fish and Manolin?
No, the old man.
No, they weren't. Ew. Get that out of here.
I'm sorry, what? I didn't hear that. Oh,
he was an old man. No, they were not. Next question.
I did not hear what Mun said.
I'm not repeating it, and neither is Mun.
Why not? I'm going to text it. I'm going to repeat it for you. Don't worry. We got you, baby girl.
Thank you. I love you, too. V, I have a very important question to ask. Is there a difference?
I could barely even hear like what you said, but I know what you said, and no, it's about a man and a fish. There's nothing.
Fish can get pregnant.
No. We're not doing it. No.
Why?
No.
I thought you said it was like that kind of.
No, I never said that.
Yes, I appreciate it. I remember seeing it. I remember hearing it.
No.
I was a witness to that. I'm a witness to that. I thought it was mine. Mine also witnessed that.
I don't know what happened. What question did you ask? You completely blanked out for me.
There is none. No. And we're going to wrap up.
Oh, okay. Why? We're having so much fun, you know?
How long was this, actually?
This has gone on for 23 minutes.
Don't matter. The podcast go on for hours.
I know, but that's my teacher true. Is not going to sit through an hour-long episode of a podcast of us talking about complete and utter nonsense. We had to get the questions out first. So, we're going to wrap up.
It took us a while to get each and every question out, though.
I know. 23 minutes. So, we're going to wrap up. Is there anything you guys want to say to the listeners? Listeners.
Well, you lowly peasants. It was so pleasant meeting you all. So very pleasant.
Lovely.
I am just like, kicking my feet and giggling while twirling my hair.
Okay. Any final remarks?
From what I was hearing, the story turned out very good. And I just wish it was gay. But anyway.
I'm sorry to disappoint. Maybe I'll do a personal rewrite just for you.
Yes, I'd actually read that one.
Me too. Okay. And don't forget the MPEG.
No, God. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Anyway, goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank
listeners.
You. Thank you for listening.
Farewell.
Peasants, whatever you guys want to be known as, you know. Goodbye. It was nice meeting you guys, and I hope you enjoyed our little podcast that happened. And I hope V doesn't censor out anything. But anyway, goodbye.
Honestly, send us the video once you're done with it.
Yeah, okay. I just want to hear it.
Hold on. Okay. Thank you for listening, and I'm sorry.